For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, brought to you by AMS Media with me, Harry Simeu. And of course, I'm joined by two fantastic guests once again. My right-hand man is with me, Mr. Vittorio Campanile. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How have you been? Good spirits.
Been great. Thanks, Harry.
I can imagine. I can imagine. And also joining us this evening for the first time is Nima Tavale. Nima, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
It's our pleasure, my friend. It's our pleasure to have you. And just before we kick off with a little bit of analysis, we're going to run through the results from this week's Serie A. Of course, the big game was in Rome between Lazio and Inter. That finished 2-1 to the hosts. Atalanta 2, Roma 1, Bologna 0, Genoa 3, Cagliari 0, Napoli 1, Juventus 2, Brescia 0, Lecce 2, Spal 1, Milan 1, Torino 0, Sampdoria 1, Fiorentina 5, Sassuolo 0, Parma 1, Udinese 0, Verona 0. Now, as I've said, the big game was, of course, at the Stadio Olimpico between Lazio and Inter. It was a much anticipated fixture. And on last week's episode, we spoke about the fact that we wanted to wait until this weekend had happened before we made any more predictions in regards to where the title may end up. Vittorio, let's come to you first. Let's have some positivity before we come to Nima from the Inter perspective. Fantastic win for Lazio. The place was absolutely rocking. Your overall thoughts on the game?
Well, I think that Lazio deserved to win, played better than Inter. It was more an offensive mind. Lazio tried to win the match while we saw Inter try to defend and try to counterattack. I think the biggest difference is at the moment Lazio has the best midfield in Italy. Milinkovic Savic, Luis Alberto Leiva are three quality players that really are making the difference. And Lazio dominated there and was able to win the match. Now, this pretty much starts a new season for Lazio, right? Because since Sunday, Lazio was thinking, our goal is the Champions League. This is our main target. Now, with Lazio beating Inter and becoming second, 1 point behind Juventus, I think the goal has to change, has to be fighting for the Scudetto. I still don't think Lazio's favorite. I still think Juventus and Inter are a better team. But, you know, once you are in that position, you have to fight and try your best to, you know, do the best possible.
Absolutely. And what players stood out for you in particular? You've mentioned the midfield trio there and how effective they were. Were you impressed by anyone else? I mean, for me, Milinkovic Savic was incredible. Obviously got that really important goal as well. But I thought the whole Lazio team performed. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I mean, the secret of this team is this group, right? Everybody that plays at a certain level. Let's not forget that Lazio was without Captain Lulic and Inzaghi decided to not start Lazzari. So these were the weaknesses of this team, right? The substitution on the wingers, Marzic and Johnny was just as his fourth start in Serie A this year, so very little appearance for him. He didn't go very well, Johnny. Marzic did much better, but yeah, the secret is the group. And then I think that big matches are won by champions, great players, and I think that's why Milinkovic Savic made the difference. And it's not Milinkovic Savic scored against Inter, scored against Juventus, scored last year in the Coppa Italia final. It's not coincidence. Top players make the difference in big match. Groups bring you there to fight for these big matches, but then when you fight against a big team, then your star has to make the difference. And I think that's what Milinkovic-Savic did.
Brilliant stuff. Vittorio, before we go over to Nima, your thoughts on the penalty? Because I've seen a lot of Inter supporters on social media were unhappy with the award. What was your take on it? Are you, and it was the Vrij of all people, you know, returning to the Olimpico. Was it a penalty in your opinion?
Well, you know, last time that De Vrij gave a penalty, when was it? It was Lazio-Inter when he was playing Lazio. So, you know, maybe a little bit of karma. I thought it was a clear penalty. I thought the discussion was red card or yellow card. People say he doesn't push it yet, but if you see the leg of Immobile, it gets between the two legs of De Vrij. So it was a clear penalty. And again, people saying that Lazio didn't deserve to win. Honestly, I don't think Lazio played better than Inter. Obviously, it's a very close match. You know, you're playing against Inter. You're not playing against Frosinone. So it's going to be some episode to decide the match. But I think it was a clear penalty, honestly.
Nima, let's come over to you before we dissect Inter's performance. Your thoughts on the penalty quickly.
No, it's not a penalty. But that doesn't mean that Lazio would deserve to win. Lazio deserved to win. I think Lazio played better than Inter. I like the way Inzaghi, the way Italians say, gestire la partita. I thought the way that Lazio took on the game was much better than the way that Inter did. You couldn't tell that Marozic playing and Johnny playing was a weakness. I thought, sure, Johnny struggled a little bit, but at the same time, I thought Lazio played to their strengths. Conte, I'd say he's changed his approach. When he took over this Inter, it was all about the intensity. It was all about controlling games. It was all about taking it to the opponent. It was all about, you know, not giving the opponents a sniff of the ball and controlling. Now, since the derby against Milan, he's kind of given the initiative. The team is defending too deep. They did it again against Lazio. They were way too deep for my taste, or for how Inter's been playing this season generally. And I think Conte gave the initiative a little bit too much voluntarily to Lazio. And Lazio are a team that can play in several different ways. They can play counter-attacking. They have the quality and the players to dictate the tempo and to create. So, no, I'm not happy with how Inter played, but I think Lazio deserved their win, but it's not a penalty, because if you look at the way that the movement is, you see that De Vrij, it's not for the push, it's the fact that they say, you know, it's two things. Is it a push and is it an infringement? Well, it's not an infringement because his movement is towards the free, you know, into a free space. And at the same time, Immobile is, you know, he wants to shoot, so he pulls his foot back and wants to hit. And wants to kick, and they collide. You know, he kicks De Vrij, so it's neither a penalty or a free kick. But this is Gianluca Rocchi. I've watched this man ruin Serie A games for the past 12 years. It's nothing. You know, he is a clown. I mean, the first 25 minutes of that game, I tweeted out that the day this man retires, it would be a happiest day for Italian football, because he's an absolute clown. There is no way of rehabilitating him. This is a man that was banned from refereeing Inter's games about 7-8 years ago because of his incompetence. And he still hasn't learned, and he won't learn. In the first 25 minutes of the game, he missed four clear yellow cards, 2-1 Inter, 2-1 Lazio. This man's incompetence is legendary. And he's ruined so many games in the Serie A, not just Inter, although he has an absolutely fantastic portfolio of ruined Inter games to his credit. But it's not malice, it's not malfede or malafede, as they say in Italy. It's just incompetence. This man is utterly incompetent. And the sooner he stops, you know, the sooner he retires, the better it is for Il Calcio. That's my honest opinion.
Vittorio, let's come to you quickly. So what do you make of Nima's argument that it wasn't a penalty? That it wasn't a penalty. My apologies. That it wasn't a penalty. And one thing I want to put to you as well, which I thought was a little bit over the top, was Lazio's celebrations after the game. I thought the way the Olimpico celebrated that was as if they just won the title. And for me, it was a little bit over the top. Firstly, do you want to respond to the penalty stuff? And then what do you make of my comments that maybe the celebrations were a little premature and a little bit over the top?
I stick with what I said. I think it was a clear penalty. And the fact that a lot of former referees said exactly the same thing. I mean, this is my opinion. So, and opinion on pretty much everything. The fact that Gazzetta dello Sport, that usually it's a Milan newspaper, this time said it was a clear penalty. I mean, tells everything. Talking about Rocky, it's funny because Lazio fan was absolutely upset about having Rocky as a referee. 40% of the red card Rocky gave were to Lazio players. So this tells you a lot how much Rocky's badly considered from everybody. Everybody hates
him. He's completely incompetent. I mean, this isn't just, he has been. I mean, when I say 12 years, it's not, I'm not exaggerating. I have watched this man ruin games for 12 years, and so have you, Vittorio. It's not, you know, everyone who's watched the Serie A, whenever, you know, in Zlatan Ibrahimovic's book, he's even mentioned of how when Inter are going to the last game of the season against Parma, the Scudetto decider on the last day of the season, and they announce that it's Gianluca Rocchi that's going to be the referee, and Mancini explodes saying, oh, not that SOB, he hates us. He's done this. I mean, as I said, he was banned from refereeing Inter because of another horror show he had when Inter played Napoli at the San Siro, when he gave a penalty that was outside the penalty area and sent off Joel Obi for winning the ball. I mean, but this is Rocky. I'm not even, you know, it is what it is. He's always been like this. He will never become better. He will never, ever become a better referee. This is who he is. And if you want, you know, any current data outside of the Serie A, just ask any Ajax fan or anyone who watched Chelsea play Ajax when he ruined that game as well. So this incompetence of his is legendary. It's not malice against Inter or Lazio. It's a competence issue.
So we don't agree on the penalty, but are we agreeing that Rocky is the worst referee in the division?
I'm not sure the worst. I mean, I have a big experience with Giacomelli that has been terrible for Lazio. So I have
There's a lot of referees who in Italy who could definitely fight for that that crown of bidone, but no, he is definitely. But if we look at over a 12-year period, I mean, this guy, the stuff that he's come up with through the years, it's almost impressive. Like that, like so bad that you stand in awe of the nonsense almost.
Talking about the celebration, I think, you know, this changed the season of Lazio since, you know, after Sunday, Lazio is fighting for the Scudetto, which was unbelievable a couple of weeks ago. Still, I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, the fans celebrate beating Inter, that it's a big result for a club like Lazio. Let's not forget that Lukaku cost twice the complete summer transfer market of Lazio. Mm. I mean, this to put on perspective the two clubs' ambition and market value. Beating the Frey, it's big for Lazio fans. So, you know, I think it's going to change the season. Now we have to see how Lazio will react, being considered a title contender, starting from Genoa's match that is going to be really, really complicated, looking at the past experience for Lazio there.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a cliche, doesn't it? But, you know, Lazio, yes, they're in the Scudetto race, but they've got to just take each game at a time. And it's one of those cliches in football that people use all the time. You know, I hate using them as well, but it just feels like with Lazio, they've got to just try and get through each week and then see where they're at, rather than setting a longer-term goal.
No, absolutely.
Nemo, was you going to come in there?
Yeah, no, I just want to say I'm so impressed by Lazio, and this is something that they've been doing for a long time. If we'll remember the way that Claudio Lotito came in and the circumstances that he came in, I think it's 14, 15 years ago now, when he came into Lazio after the Craniotti era, completely the meltdown, and how he reluctantly came in and how he basically changed the club into actually making a profit, and how he systematically built them up and how he's got them winning trophies whilst doing that, which is really impressive. And then when, you know, the Bielsa thing, the way it crashed, which was definitely a blessing in disguise, because that gave Simone Inzaghi, who I think is, you know, he's a character who's been loved by Lazio fans ever since he played there. And the way that he's been able to unite, with all due respect to Rocky, the player, he was hardly the kind of uniting character, or the same way that Simone Inzaghi is. You know, he won the Scudetto with them. You know, he was a player that fought for the club and bled for the club, and now that's his first big job, and he's got them playing some really good football. I mean, in his first season, Lazio scored a hell of a lot of goals, but they conceded a lot as well. The second and second season, they didn't score as much, but they conceded less. This season, he's got it working like clockwork, and it's so impressive to see the way that he's got the development that someone like Sergej Milinkovic-Savic, and above all Luis Alberto, who I am absolutely head over heels in love with. I think he is absolutely phenomenal. He's a classic trequartista that I don't think we've seen in Italian football for quite some time, and I absolutely love watching him play. And then the way that Acerbi has come into this team and turned into the best defender in the Serie A, if you ask me, by a mile this season. No, I'm really impressed. And then Lazzari, what a shrewd signing, an intelligent signing that was in the summer. And how he's got this, you know, they've built this, and now it's gelling. And I agree with what Vittorio said. I think it's a new season that starts now for Lazio. 100%. Now they have to cope with, they're no longer the underdog. They're actually one of the players, they're actually one of the teams that are going to be treated like a big team that's going to fight for the Scudetto. I personally don't think that they will win the Scudetto. I still think that maybe their peak in form has come a little bit too soon, because Juventus and Inter, especially Conte, we know that his teams perform in March, April. And Juventus, Juve, they will always be at their best in March, April. It depends. It remains to be seen. But there's no doubt in my mind that Simone Inzaghi, I've been tooting his horn for several years now, that I think he's the next Italian super coach. He's showing that he is, because the work he's done with this Lazio team is nothing short of fantastic.
Yeah, agreed. And I can't disagree with any of that. I think he has done a fantastic job. Probably doesn't get the credit outside of Italy at the moment that he deserves. And hopefully this is the kind of result that will make people stand up and take notice of the fantastic work that Simone Inzaghi is doing over there. Now let's move on to Juventus, who of course defeated Brescia by 2-0. Cristiano Ronaldo was rested. Vittorio, from my perspective, when I watch Juventus, I don't see them playing at their best. I don't see them, you know, free flowing. I just there's something not quite right there, yet they keep getting results, and results elsewhere keep going in their favor. Because let's face it, had Inter beaten Lazio at the weekend, Juventus's position would have been very different, wouldn't it?
Yes, and to be honest, Juventus beat Brescia, but I saw the match, they were terrible, and Brescia played for 55, 56 minutes, one man down, and, you know, playing at Juventus Stadium with 10 men against 11. Last year, Juventus would have destroyed Brescia. You know, this match would have finished after 65 minutes. It would have been 3-0. Instead, Juventus went ahead 1-0 because the goalkeeper of Brescia, they stopped it after 10, 15 minutes. The new goalkeeper was at his debut in Serie A and made a mistake on the free kick of Dybala. Everybody's saying, incredible free kick. It's on the side of the goalkeeper. A normal goalkeeper should have saved that. And after that, in the second half, Juventus didn't create any chances till at the end of the match when they scored a second goal thanks to a nice triangle between Matuidi and Cuadrado. So really, Juventus struggled against Brescia, that is playing terrible. Was one man down. Brescia is struggling to perform great football. This, for me, was a very concerning result. Yes, you get the 3 points, but you struggle against Brescia one man down. So this is really scary for me if I'm a Juventus fan. And at the moment, you have to say that in the last month or so, without Cristiano Ronaldo, Juventus is really struggling to score. And this is, you know, it's worrying. Yes, as Nima said, February, March, usually Juventus come out, etc. But this is a different Juventus. Maurizio Sarri is not a winner. Last year with Allegri, this match would have been over after 15 minutes. We are seeing that with Sarri, Juventus is losing against Verona. That's simply unexpected. They drew against Lecce. They're losing a lot of points that last year, maybe they would have been playing great football, but they would have get the 3 points. So I still think Juventus is the favorite, but they have to step up. Now, having Chiellini back is definitely a good thing for Juventus. We'll have to see when he will be back to his level and how things will change. But I'm a little bit concerned for Juventus.
Nima, what's your take on Juventus?
I think I agree with a lot of what Vittorio said, but I think you shouldn't, you know, this is still Juve. Juve is Juve. And they have this amazing, you know, that you talk about winner culture, and it's you know, it's something that's a DNA in the wall, you know, it's kind of in the walls of that in Vinovo. And but with him, I agree, there is reason of concern with Sarri, because he's not the patented Juve kind of winner the same way Allegri was at all, or Capello was, or Lippi was. It's completely different. But at the same time, Sarri, you know, he managed to win in Europe with that Chelsea side. He brought them to a fight in the Europa League last season. He got them playing pretty good football after a season where he struggled a lot, and he got them to the finals. To one final, they won one, they lost one. But at the same time, I do think there is cause for concern, like Vittorio said. But you know, Chiellini. Chiellini is so important. His voice in that dressing room, the leader he is, you know, in Juventus they talk about lo stile Juve. That's not just a phrase, it means something. It's the guy, it's the manner with which you take on games, it's the manner with which you train, it's the attitude that you take on, that you go into training, that you go into matches. And Chiellini, he is Juve through and through. And the fact that he's back and playing, I don't think we can underestimate the importance of that. We'll see.
Yes, but I agree on this. But if you are playing a final and you have to pick the manager, you pick Sarri or Conte?
Sempre Conte. So, you know. Yeah, I know what you mean.
This is the difference. I mean, I don't think Sarri is a winner. And Juventus pick Sarri because he wants to play great football and wants to win the Champions League. And I think there's a big difference. In Europe, you have to play offensive football like Sarri. In Serie A, defense win, right? This is what happens usually. Yeah. If you have a great defense, you win. Juventus is struggling in defense. De Ligt is not playing at this level. Bonucci is playing better than last year, but still not at level. They're allowing so many goals compared to the past. Yeah. So, you know, maybe it sounds crazy, but I think Juventus have more chance to win the Champions League than win the Serie A. Juventus is a better team. They have Cristiano Ronaldo, Dybala, Higuain, etc. They're better than Inter. But Inter is a more concrete team. It's a team that can win the Scudetto for me. While on Sarri, I have doubts. Maybe they're going to beat Inter, but then they can lose against Genoa, Spal. You know, this is Sarri type of football. So I'm still not convinced that Juventus can win the Scudetto with Sarri. With Allegri, I would have no doubt. But, you know, pick Conte or Sarri for the Scudetto. I'm going with Conte all the time, you know.
Nima.
I understand what you mean, yeah. That makes sense.
One thing I wanted to ask you guys about. Now, most of our listeners are, of course, based in the UK, and so there is an interest in players that have played in the UK previously. We know at Inter there's quite a strong Premier League contingent at the moment. Ashley Young's there, Victor Moses, Lukaku, Sanchez, Eriksen, etc. A player that formerly played in the Premier League and plays for the aforementioned Brescia is Mario Balotelli. Has he calmed down a little bit? Is the Mario Balotelli of nowadays a more mature?
Balotelli's Balotelli. He's never going to change. He's never going to mature. I think he's going to just maybe calm down. But I mean, he is Balotelli. He's never going to change. But I think he's struggling to you know, that Brescia move didn't exactly pan out the way he had hoped. at all. And it's I feel a little bit bad for him because of that, because I mean, playing in his hometown club, trying to save them, avoid relegation, it's not going to happen. They're definitely going to be relegated. The player that I, if we're talking about Brescia, the player that I watch is Tonali, Sandro Tonali. I think he's absolutely fantastic. I mean, such a young player. You know, a lot of people draw comparisons to Pirlo. I think that's, yes, he has the regista, the, that kind of deep lying midfielder tactics about him. But for me, he's more of a mezzala. He's he actually runs. He moves. Pirlo used to jog on the pitch. I mean, like, God bless Pirlo. He was a magical football player, but he wasn't a runner. He didn't work hard. That was not why he. That's not what he did. But with Tonali, he does that. He's much more complete in the sense that his movement is his vision, his craft, and his shooting. And that's a player that I think, you know, half of Europe is chasing. It's Inter, it's Juve, it's PSG. It's I mean, all the big guns are going after him because they know that if you sign him, you've got a, it's like the Verratti situation in a way, very similar to that. If you buy him, you've got a world-class midfielder for the next 10 years.
But you don't have to make the mistake of thinking he's a regista, because otherwise you're going to waste him. He's a mezzala. Exactly. He's a box-to-box player, just to give a Premier League example. Going back to Balotelli, it was funny because in the second half of Sunday's match, he was playing in midfield because Brescia wasn't able to push. So he was coming back and playing as a midfielder just to keep the ball and allow Brescia player to attack a little bit. And this is not Balotelli. You know, Balotelli is a striker. He's in the box. You give him the ball and he scores. If he play outside the box, he's an average player. And it was funny because he scored against Lazio at the beginning of the season and immediately newspaper, Balotelli's back. He's the best. You know, he scored one goal after a mistake of a Lazio defender, and suddenly he was back. He's not back, guys. He's not back. No. And he's not the best Italian attacker at all,
No, I agree. I mean, for me, it's Belotti, hands down. The way, I mean, if you talk about attitude, having the right attitude as a player, Andrea Belotti has that. He works his socks off for the team as a lone striker. He never stops running. He never stops fighting. He never stops charging for fighting for that ball and moving to put his teammates into good positions. And that's the kind of striker for me. If we're talking Azzurri, it's Belotti without a shadow of a doubt. That's got that number nine spot. And I'm not saying that as someone who disrespects Ciro Immobile, because I think that Ciro Immobile is a good player. I think a lot of the criticism against him is absolutely ridiculous. I think I did a podcast about Immobile, and one of the things I said is that Ciro Immobile is a bit unlucky. He's born in the wrong time, in a moment when there are, you know, the striker role is not adapted today to the kind of striker role he plays. You know, if he were to play during the age of, for example, someone like Filippo Inzaghi, he'd be much more appreciated. Ciro Immobile, so I think that Ciro Immobile is a very good player. I just think that he's a little bit unlucky with living in this era where you have a number nine, that the number nine has to be, you know, everyone plays 4-3-3 with one single punta, one single striker, and Immobile isn't that kind of a player. He needs to have another player next to him to really thrive. So for me, if we're talking Azzurri, it's Belotti. Belotti is the natural choice.
I totally disagree. 26 goals this season. 26, guys. 20. No discussion. No discussion. And when I read that Mancini decide to play once Balotelli and Belotti and once Immobile, I think he should be sacked immediately. 26 goals. 26. They said he doesn't score against top team. He scored against Inter, against Milan, against Napoli, against everybody. 26 goals. No discussion.
We've not even had 26 games in the Serie A.
Let's be honest. I mean, Ciro Immobile is going to break that record. He's going to score more than 35 goals. There's no doubt about that. In one season, he's going to equal. I think he's going to beat both that record that Higuain has together with Vittorio? The name of the striker who Higuain equaled 35 goals in one year. It's from the 20s. I forgot now. But
from the 20s, Neymar.
Yeah, 1920s. Yeah,
The thing of Immobile is he has Luis Alberto. That's the secret. Ciro Immobile. Luis Alberto puts you on the spot. And, you know, Immobile likes to attack the space behind the defender. And Luis Alberto put the ball in the right spot. So, obviously, without Luis Alberto, that's why Immobile is struggling in the national team. Nobody has Luis Alberto.
Exactly. They don't play like that either. I mean, his the 4-3-3 that Mancini plays, they don't have a trequartista. They have three midfielders with a regista and two mezzala, and then you have two wingers coming in. So the number nine role is a player that wants to hold up, you should hold up and link up. Immobile is not good at holding up and linking up. He's more of a player, exactly like Vittorio said. He needs to have a number 10 and maybe a Caicedo or someone else or Correa next to him that he can play off of. And that's what I meant with when I said that he's a bit unlucky to be having his career in this age when the number nine role is a different role, like than it usually was. I mean, for me, Immobile is a classic Italian goal poacher. You know, he just doesn't have that characteristic that Mancini is looking for and that the number nines today are should have, according to the coaches. I personally agree. I mean, if you score 26 goals in 24 games, I mean, what are we talking about? There's no discussion that the guy is quality. It's ridiculous to say anything else.
Yeah, agreed. Guys, let's move on to Milan. 1-0 winners over Torino. It was their first victory over Torino, incidentally, since August 2016. And they move into joint sixth with Verona and Parma. Vittorio, are we seeing improvement from Milan?
Definitely. You have to see a little bit of changes. Stefano Pioli, it's a good tactician and you can see Milan improving. But you have to be honest and say Torino is probably the worst team at the moment. I think me and you could play against Torino and win probably. So this tells you how bad the team. And the funny thing of Torino, I think we talked about it last week. They have good players. They have Belotti. They have Izzo. They have Sirigu. They have De Silvestri. They have quality player at the beginning of the season. Gazzetta dello Sport was putting Torino ahead of Lazio. Let's not forget about this.
But that was ridiculous. I mean, Lazio for me were a top five team. Torino were not a top five team.
But they said that Torino could fight for the Europa League. So, you know, they had some quality players and they are struggling badly. They are not focused. They are not convinced at all that they can do it. So this made the job for Milan very easily. But, I mean, you can see that Pioli is improving. Pioli is helping Milan play better football. Will they reach the Europa League? Maybe. It depends a lot on Ibrahimovic. Because at the end of the day, you can have even Guardiola. But if your team is PAL, you will never reach the Champions League. You can, stay in Serie A, but the match brings you so far. So you need the players. Does Milan have the right players? I'm not sure about that.
I agree with everything Vittorio said. I think Milan, I think that given the insane, I mean, the madness of the season they've had, with starting with Gianpaoli, who I thought was an absolutely ridiculous appointment to begin with. Yeah. It was so wrong on every single level for a club like Milan. It was just a matter of time before he got sacked. And I thought, and I used to say, I said it on our pod, the Serie A show, that if Gianpaolo, you know, if he stays, it's only a matter of time before he gets sacked, because I cannot see how Milan under him, because what he's always done in his teams is that they go good, they go for a stretch of 5-6 games when his football really works and it looks beautiful, but then they collapse, and you can't do that as these big teams. You cannot collapse and lose 4-5-0 when you're a coach of Milan, Inter, Juve, Lazio, Roma. It just doesn't work like that. If you do that, you're out. And the problem with Gianpaolo was that he never even got going. I mean, he wanted Benacer, he wanted Krunic, but he didn't play any of them. So I thought that was just an insane appointment to start at all. But it's so important. It's so interesting to see how Ibrahimovic, since he's come on, he come back to Milan. You see how everyone at the club, it's as if they've kind of turned on. They switched on where, you know, the quality during the trainings are better. Everyone is concentrated, focused, because the guy is a winner. There's no, you know, that's what he does. Ibrahimovic brings, if anything he's done in his entire life, it's that he brings in this mentality that he was taught by Fabio Capello at Juventus, that it's about winning. It's about winning and winning and winning and winning, and everything else has to go, you know, is secondary to that. And he's come onto this Milan team, and they absolutely love him. I mean, Rafael Leao says that he's Ibrahimovic is like his bigger brother. Rebic is looking like a fantastic player. He's scoring 5-6 goals just since January. So no, Milan, I think, will, the fact that they can finish in the top six is absolutely amazing. I still don't think that they will do it. I think Napoli is where I put my money to finish in that last European spot.
Yeah, I have to say that I think Napoli will finish ahead of Roma if things continue like that.
True.
Just going back to that Ibrahimovic point, guys, it's almost as though he's so dominating, if that's the right word, that you're almost afraid not to perform and not to give 100% when he's there, because he is that big of a character, isn't it? He demands the best everywhere he goes. And I think, whilst people talk about his age and the fact that maybe his best years are beyond him, at the end of the day, he's still a huge player with a huge stature, and it makes a massive difference. Now, guys, we've come to the end of the show. We've spent a lot of time talking about the top teams this evening, but there's been some fantastic insight from Vittorio and from Nima. So my thanks to the pair of you. Nima, this is your first time on the show. Do you want to let our listeners know what you do and how they can catch up with the fantastic work that you do?
I'm the founder of sempreinter.com. We cover Inter 24/7 and have been doing that for the past 7 years in English. I used to write for Gianluca Di Marzio. I used to do for goal.com and Calciomercato, etc. But now I'm fully focused just doing Sempreinter, which is growing more and more every day. So at Nima Tavrud on Twitter if you want to follow me, and at sempreinter.com if you want to follow Sempreinter.
Brilliant stuff. Make sure you do head over and check out Nima's work. Vittorio, where can people keep up to date with you and tell us about your podcast?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Vittorio Campa, and I'm the founder of Lazio Lounge. Not big as Sempre Inter, but, you know, the only podcast in English about Lazio, La Prima Squadra della Capitale, and we're having a great moment. So, guys, let's come listen to the best team in Italy at the moment.
That's it. There's no better time to check out the Lazio Lounge than now.
I can really recommend that you do that with Alistair McKenzie, and he's a good guy. He was on our pod actually the other day, talking about the game. Yeah,
he told me he was a little bit scared because after the victory.
it was good to hear him. It was good. No, Alistair always offers great analysis, so it was very nice to have him on.
Great stuff. My thanks to the pair of you, and we'll be back very, very soon with more. Of course, we'll be dropping a show next week where we'll be reviewing the action from next week's football. And of course, the big games are Inter take on Sampdoria at home. We're looking at Juventus, who take on Spal away, and Lazio, the other title contender, as we've said tonight, they travel to Genoa. So we'll be keeping a close eye on all of those games, as well as doing a little bit more of a wider roundup than we have done tonight. But it's been great. My thanks to the guys, and we'll be back soon. Ciao.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.